Hey, welcome to this week's sermon. I am so glad that you are here. No matter if you're usual or somebody sent you the link, I believe that God has a message just right for your life at this time. Hey, I want to let you know that this is a series that is going to help you win in relationship. And if you want to take that to another level in resource, I want to let you know Relationship Goals is still out everywhere. The book as well as the study guide. And for everybody who's already gotten it, thank you for being a part of changing the world. For everybody who has not bought this from somebody else, they need this in their life. And if you've never heard of Relationship Goals, this book was written to help you win in relationships. I'm telling you that God cares about every one of your relationships, and we want to help you win. So this sermon is about to give you revelation. Get ready as we go into this week's sermon. All right, I got a word. And I think this word it's challenged me all week, and I believe it's going to challenge you. Everybody in the auditorium, take your seat, because we are starting week 8 of a series that we are calling, help me, Relationship Goals Reloaded. Your part? All right, some of y'all chicks is getting weak, but I'm telling you, my messages are getting stronger, okay? We only have 3 more weeks left in this series. I'm going to preach today. And then I have 2 more messages. And I believe that culture is crying out right now for a godly example, playbook, and instructions of what relationships are supposed to be. And this week in culture, there's been a lot of talk about marriage and relationships. And there's been all kinds of stuff in culture that's showing us how when you make up what you think a relationship or a marriage is supposed to be and you weren't the creator of it, how it ends up hurting people or changing people or getting people into entanglements. I know that everybody's trying to figure out how to do what God has asked them to do as well as get everything you want out of it, but I'm telling you that there is a way that relationship is supposed to be done, and God set it up like that so that you could be able to win in relationship. Somebody type that in the chat. Everybody say it out loud. I will win in relationships. But you only can win if you go by the playbook. And too many people are making up rules to a game that they did not create. And it took everything in me, DeMario, not to preach a message about entanglement today. Took everything in me. And I'm not, but next week I can't make no promises. But today, I want to finish what we started last week. Now, if you're just joining us and this is your first time, I need you to honestly get off right now or get off after this and go back and listen to part 1 that I talked about our attractions and how attractions make us seem like it leads to satisfactions, but many of the times it doesn't lead to us being satisfied. It leads to us being distracted. And many of our attractions have taken us from the place that God wants us to be into a place that we never thought we would be. And we've been looking at this in the life of David. So if you got your Bibles right now, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 14. And I want to show you a scripture real quick in verse 12. Because everybody is trying to make their own path in life when it comes to relationships. And I do not think that this was God's intention. This scripture stuck out to me in study, and it made me think about this in my entire life, but it made me think about it when it came to the context of relationship. It says, Proverbs 14:12, there is a path before each person that seems right. Isn't it crazy that in our relationships, when we're in them, it seems right? Like, has anybody ever been in a bad relationship that while you were in the relationship, it still seemed right? Now, y'all quiet today, but I've seen your Instagram pictures go from being with this person to that person to this person. It's only been 12 months. The reason is because when we were in it, when we started it, when we got into it, it seemed right. But it says that path before every person that seems right, it ends in death. And I'm not just talking about a physical death. I want to know how many things in your life are dying because it seemed right at the time? How many callings, how many moments have you missed? How many things that have been happening? And this is what I want to pick up, because we talk about David all the time as the one who defeated Goliath and became the king. But David had a dark side, and his dark side was fueled by his attractions. And I know a lot of us don't want to admit it, but some of our attractions have been the thing that has led to our distraction, and it's honestly led to the death of things that God wanted to live. And when I sit here and I think about my own life, I think about the relationships that God had me in and wanted me to be in. It was my attraction to things that were not of him and not like him. Attraction to things that God didn't put in front of me, but that culture enticed me with. It was those things that led to the death of some things. And this is where we find David. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. For recap, it says, in the spring, when kings normally go to war, David was supposed to be at war. He stayed. He stayed in the place. Verse 2, late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the rooftop of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty. This is his attraction. Taking a bath. The first thing I want to give us as a framework is I want to give you the equation of attraction. Write this down. This is going to help you. Attraction plus attention equals interaction. You can never, ever stop your attraction if you don't. Let me say it like this. You can never, ever stop your attraction. Attraction is neutral. It happens. But you can stop your attention. And when you stop your attention from going to that site, to going to that person, to going to that thing, that will stop and make powerless the interaction. The problem is most of us think that we can be attracted to it and just look at it every once in a while and just talk to it every once in a while and just be around it every once in a while. And I'm telling you, 1 + 1 = 2. If you are attracted to it and you give attention to it, you will have an interaction with it. And there's so many people that act like this is not true. Just because we don't see your interaction with it doesn't mean you don't have interactions with it. Just because it's not public knowledge. And what I'm telling you is, last week, as I demonstrated how I had an attraction to cake, it was when I gave that cake my attention that eventually I face planted in it. I had an interaction with the cake. And my question to you is, what are you looking at right now that attracted you in one season, but the interaction is very close? The interaction that may interrupt what God wants to do in your life. And the reason I'm talking to you like this is because I don't want to keep seeing people that God has chosen to be relationship models for what he wants to do in your life being taken out by little stuff that we keep giving our attention to. David, the king of an entire region, gets thrown off because he was doing a little peekaboo over the rooftop. It was the little peekaboo. It's the little peekaboo. It's the little peekaboo. I don't know what you've been peeking and booing at, but you can forfeit a kingdom because of a peekaboo. And that's what happened to him, because he fell into the trap of attraction. And the crazy thing about it is, your attraction can be to something good. If you put your attraction on, you know what, I want to live pure. If you give your attention to the word of God, you will have an interaction with your purpose. You can actually use this formula in reverse and get to the place and the interactions that you actually want to have that will help you reach what God has called you to reach. Let me put it to you in a point. Attraction is good when it's submitted to God. Attraction is good. Everybody say attraction is good when it is submitted to God. the reason I want to say that, because we know every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. We understand that God is the one that has created everything. It goes all the way back to the garden. Remember when Adam was by himself and God was like, it's not good for him to be alone. So he put him to sleep, took his rib out, and then he gave him Eve. When he woke up, he was attracted to Eve. How do you know he was attracted to Eve? Because the first thing he said was, whoa, man. Jesus, she fine. My God, today. We're going to call her whoa, man, God. Okay, whoa, man, woman. That's the first thing he said. So that was an attraction that was submitted to God. It was sub to the mission. But those same people had an unsubmitted attraction. When God told them, you can eat of every fruit in the garden except this one, they were attracted to the fruit that was forbidden. And when they ate of that fruit, the attraction that they thought was going to bring satisfaction actually ended up subtracting them from the place that they were supposed to live forever. Now, Pastor Mike, why are you taking us systematically through this? Because I'm trying to help you locate why you're in the spot that many of you are in right now. It's because we have listen to our attractions, and now it's ending us up in subtraction. Think about this real quick. I wrote this thought down. Jesus would have never had to die if Adam and Eve had control of their appetite. Listen to what I just said again. Jesus would have never had to gone to the cross. He would have never had to make a way for God to be back with humanity if Adam and Eve would have just controlled their appetite. You don't get it, so I'm gonna have to show you. Here we go again. It's a cake. I'm attracted to it, but after last week, I made a deal with myself and with God that I was no longer gonna eat the cake. So I'm attracted to it, but today I'm gonna control my appetite. But the cake is still here, but I'm going to move on. But where did these honey buns come from? I'm not going to eat the cake, but there's always an alternate. Whenever you have your appetite set on something, the enemy will always present an alternate to you. And my appetite was for this, but I'll settle for this. But no, I'm going to stay strong in the Lord, in the power of his might, and I'm not going to eat this honey bun. But when my appetite was for this, and I say no to this, there's always cookies that will be presented to me. And this is what I'm saying to you, is that it has to be a resolve on the inside of you that you are not going to give in to what your appetite is, because God has prepared something for you that is actually better for you. What if I told you that on this amazing spread that we have of things that are attractive, none of these things are good for me except the last thing? This last thing is a beautiful chicken salad, and it's got all kinds of little peas and very healthy stuff in it and all this other stuff. And I'm hungry right now. And this is what God has ordained for me to eat. This is the thing. This is the relationship. This is the marriage. This is the job that God wants me to participate in, indulge in. He wants me to be fully satisfied here. But this would be enough if I didn't taste all of this. And what happens in many relationships, in many marriages, is what we do is I'm tired of waiting on what God has for me, and I have this natural appetite, so I'll take a piece of this, I'll take a bite of this, I'll take a dip of this, gummy bears, chips, burger. I would have to either swallow or spit out what I have to receive what was already prepared for me. And what happens many times is the reason why you can't be satisfied with one marriage partner is because you tasted everybody else before you made the commitment. The reason why, it's the appetite. Your attractions, your appetite. The reason why, this would have been enough if it was the only thing I ate. This would have been enough for me. I would have been satisfied and thankful. But when I keep going around tasting things that will ultimately leave me hungry again. And I'm showing you this because many of us are sacrificing things out of selfishness. We won't wait on the plan of God, so we taste counterfeits. Pastor Mike, why are you going this hard? Because so many of us are having things subtracted from us, like God is holding out on us. And what he's doing is saying, stay away from all of these snacks. Stay away from all the things that look good at the moment, but will not actually make you any healthier. And this is what we have to do when it comes to social media, when it comes to business, when it comes to everything. What is your appetite telling you to eat that will end up leaving you hungry? And I know some people are trying to tune me out right now because I'm two in your life. This is so normal for you. Some of y'all are watching this right now eating the stuff that I got right here. Some of you will pray for a goal that you will go right after you pray for the goal, and you will discredit what you prayed for by what you consume. I'm going to be a pastor today. I'm coming to talk to you, and I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you need it. I'm telling you, God told me that your appetite is killing your destiny. And that's what happened to David. Today, I'm calling the sermon Satisfaction to Subtraction. That's what I want you to realize is that everything that promises to satisfy is actually going to take away. David goes in here and he has an interaction with Bathsheba. He doesn't just see her. He's not just attracted to her. He said, bring her up here. Look at it in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4. It says, then David sent messengers to get her. And when she came to the palace, he slept with her. They had an interaction. Write this point down. Interaction always leads to a transaction. Interaction, if we don't come in contact, there is going to be a transfer. This is where people think that whatever you do, it's all good. Nobody got harmed in it. I'm telling you, you cannot touch anything without some of it getting on you. Last week, when I put my face in the cake, there was no way I could say that I did not have an interaction with the cake, because that interaction created a transfer. What was on the cake got on me. This is why I'm telling people all the time, why should we wait to have sex before we get married? Because when you do that outside of the container of marriage that God has placed in there, there is a transfer. And that transfer is called the soul tie. And I think next week I'm going to talk about that. And I may call it entanglements. I don't know. I'm still working on the title right now. But all I'm telling you right now is when there's a transfer, it gets on you. There's evidence that you have been with something that may not have been God's best for you. When we look at David, culture would say, when he called Bathsheba up and they slept together, satisfaction. Yes, I scored. I saw it. I had it. It's over. Nobody's hurt. I'm the king. I'm the queen. I'm the one that did it. I satisfied my temporary desire, and it's all good. But this is the thing that I want to let everybody know, that every transaction always has evidence. And any time that you have a transaction because of your attraction, there will always be evidence in your life. We know you're messing around with a guy that you're not supposed to be with because there's evidence in your attitude. You've changed since you've been with them. There's evidence. It may not be for everybody to see, but we all know there's evidence to what's happening. Yeah, I know that business transaction is the biggest deal you ever made, but there's evidence in how you don't pay attention to your family anymore. There's evidence of the transaction. You thought it just made your bank account big. It made your actual wealth of family low. There's everybody shout at me, evidence. And the evidence for David was there was a baby. I can imagine that night, David sleeps with Bathsheba, and then he's like, all right, cool, you know what I'm saying? I'll hit you back up if I ever need you again. And he was like, it's done. I came, I saw, I conquered. And then she sends word back to him. I just see an episode in my mind. Knock, 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 knock. Knock, 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 knock. Who is it? It's me, fool. Bathsheba. Hey, I wasn't expecting to see you. I didn't call for you. No, you didn't call for me, but you knocked me up. And I got your baby. I have evidence we were together. I have something that when we connected created something else that I never knew I would have to deal with for this long. I didn't know that being your friend would make me like this for this many months. I didn't know not doing this but doing this would make me have to deal with this insecurity for this. I used to be confident before I got in a relationship with you. But when I had that interaction with you and we made that transaction, I've been insecure ever since. And it's been 9 months and now it's in full depression. It's come full term. I used to seek God and pray, but when I had an interaction with you because of my attraction to you, now there's evidence. The way that I don't pray anymore, the way that my faith has gone down, the way that I'm pessimistic instead of optimistic. And some of y'all have not been able to be self-aware enough because you haven't been reading the only word that reads you. God will allow the Bible to read you. When I read this thing, he said, Michael, there's evidence you haven't been with me. There's evidence that you've been running to other things instead of me. And for David, it comes out in a baby, and I don't know what it comes out for you. But when the evidence comes out, we go in to what I call the great cover-up. When it comes out that our attractions have led us to interactions that are not good, what we try to do is act like it hasn't happened and it has no effect and it's not that big of a deal. We try to act like that the infraction really didn't matter. But write this point down. It's never true satisfaction if there has to be an infraction. David slept with another man's wife. It was adultery from jump. He tried to probably keep it out of his mind. He probably didn't want to think about it. But the crazy thing about it is Bathsheba's husband was working for David, fighting his battles. He literally betrayed somebody that was fighting for him. He was loyal to him. That's how you know that your attractions will lead you to a place and to things that you never thought you would do. You can be loyal to somebody, and if you go down the road of attraction, you can end up hurting somebody that you, in one season, were cool with. It can never be true satisfaction if it started with an infraction. My question is to you, how did the attraction start? How did it go from what you thought was good? How did it go from what seemed to be right? How did it go from something that felt good to me, and then it went to something that was going to cost me more than what it was worth? This is what happened to David. Look at it. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 6, it said, then David sent word to Joab. Send me Uriah. That is Bathsheba's husband, the Hittite. So they sent for him. He's out there fighting. David says, she's about to have a baby. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to cover it up. This is what I call human interactions and human infractions and sin reactions. This is what happens to all of us. Now get this. My man is out here fighting a war. I slept with his wife, so I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to call him back. And what is every man that's been with a whole bunch of men fighting a war? What's the first thing he going to do? He going to go find his wife and he going to sleep with his wife. So if I can bring them back and they can sleep together. So he says, I'm going to go and I'm going to bring her husband back because I made a mistake. I'm going to cover it up. I'm going to bring the husband back. And what's the first thing that every man wants to do when he's been around a bunch of sweaty dudes fighting war? He wants to come back and be cuddled by his wife. And maybe they can have relations. And after they have relations, the baby can be born, but they'll think it is his baby. They'll think that maybe this was how it was supposed to be. And this man comes home and he's like, yeah, I don't know why I'm here right now. My mind is back at the battlefield. And he doesn't sleep with his wife. And David is sitting in the palace like, what is going on? You got to read your Bible because this stuff is better than any sitcom. He's like, what is going on? He calls him back and he's like, bro, you should go sleep with your wife. And he's like, how can I sleep with my wife? And my friends and my brothers are on the battlefield. And so David's like, all right, cool. We got to come up with another plan. We got to come up with something different. And what does he say? Something happening? Is what does he say? He says, I'm going to send Uriah on a special mission. I'm going to send him on a special mission. Tell him to come here. I'm going to send him to the front lines. And when I send him to the front lines, he's going to end up getting killed. So he literally tries to cover up his appetites, his attractions, his interactions by taking somebody out that had nothing to do with it. Now, I want to say this to everybody, because when we talk about our attractions and our attention, we never think about the innocent bystanders who will die because of our decisions. Do you know that there are so many people that are being affected and that are dying because we are attracted to something that's not even ours? This man sends him to the front line, he dies. And at this moment, everything that David did, he has not felt the weight of it yet because he keeps covering it up. And there's some of us that right now, you think you're living a good life right now because you keep covering up what you've messed up. And God says to you today, what's done in the dark will always come to the light. I don't know how else to be able to describe this to you, but nobody around David knew what was happening except him. And because he knew it and God knew it, this would end up subtracting from his life. And there are some people that are here right now that because nobody knows publicly what your attractions have made you do, you think you're winning. But I came as a prophet of God today to tell you that this is the moment that you need to go ahead and go first. If you've done something, you need to tell your wife. If you've done something, you need to tell your husband. This is the moment of transparency, not just honesty. Honesty is telling the truth when they ask you or when it's found out. But this is the season of transparency. It's the season of transparency for America. This is the season of transparency for everything. And God is saying, you better go first. I know they're not going to like this one, DeMario, but as a pastor, I can't just teach the things that tantalize the ears and not teach the things that will change your soul. You better go first. Because just because people doesn't know doesn't mean that God doesn't. Look what happens to David. His attraction that he tried to cover up is the same thing that's been happening since the very beginning. When Adam and Eve listened to their attraction, they ate the fruit. And then God came around and he asked them the first self-awareness question that I'm asking you. He said, Adam, where are you? That's the same thing. He didn't lose Adam. This was a question to see if Adam could locate himself. And I am going to ask you like God asked Adam. As we're sitting here and all of this stuff is here and you thought today was going to be like, oh, I'm about to give Pastor Mike, I'm going to see him smash some cakes. No. God's coming to search your soul. Where are you? If you can't locate where you are right now, you're going to do what Adam and Eve did. They went and got leaves and started doing what? Covering up. And when they came to this cover up, just like David went to this cover up, your attractions, write this down, can make someone else a fraction. A fraction is something that was whole and has been broken down into pieces. David's attraction to Bathsheba actually robbed her. Some of y'all side pieces out there think you got a better deal because you got the Gucci and the Louis, but it's actually robbing you. Your value is going down because you have given in to somebody else's attraction. And their attraction made you a fraction, and for some reason, the thing that used to be whole in you is now pieced out. I think that's why they call it a side piece. Uh-oh. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 26. When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she's a fraction now. She mourned for him. She didn't want that thing to die. She didn't want that to happen. She was, just think about it from Bathsheba's standpoint. She was in a Herbal Essence commercial taking a bath, washing her hair. She gets sent for. The king is like, baby, let's do this. They sleep together. She gets pregnant. Her husband dies. She didn't want this to happen, so she mourned. But watch this. When the period of mourning was over, look at this fool, David. David sent for her. You done crying? Come on, baby. That one thing we did, that was nice. And he brought her to the palace, and she became one of his wife. Then she gave birth to a son. Watch this. But the Lord was displeased with what David had done. It doesn't matter if everybody is cool with your offense. If the Lord is displeased, it doesn't matter if now y'all in a relationship and we good now and we about to get married and we're going to try to make it right now. It doesn't matter if the business was successful, but it started off crooked. It doesn't matter if we do all this stuff. It doesn't matter if everybody sees you successful, a CEO or whatever. It doesn't matter if everybody's cool, if the Lord is displeased. David thought the cover-up worked. He thought his attractions led to his satisfaction. That's what culture would tell us. That his attraction for Bathsheba, I know there was some crazy stuff that happened in the middle. Isn't it crazy how we sum up all of the foolishness and despair and heartache that happens in our lives to just like there was a crazy season. I was attracted to her, we went through a crazy season. And now it's all good. But his attraction from this moment has caused so much despair and loss and death and hurt and mourning and pain. But then he thought it was good. And the reason I had to preach this message today is because I needed to help somebody who really thinks that what you're doing, what you've done, you listening to your attractions have ended you up at a spot that you cool. David, when he brought her to be one of his wives, was like, okay, we made it. And then God sends a prophet named Nathan. And Nathan, the way this happens in chapter 12, I need y'all to read y'all Bible. He literally says, I'm about to rebuke you, David. Because the attraction that you had has now equaled subtraction. Write that down. Attraction can equal subtraction. Watch what David's about to lose because of what he saw on the rooftop. Think about what you have the opportunity to lose because you went to that website. Think about what you have the opportunity to lose. Somebody's got to hear me, because you keep hanging with those people. Think about what you have the opportunity to lose. He had to send a man of God to rebuke him. And you got to read the whole thing, but I'm going to just go to verse 11. He says, this is what Nathan says. This is what the Lord says. because of what you have done with your attraction, I will cause your own household to rebel against you. If you read further in the story, I didn't even know this until I went back. But later on in David's life as a king, one of his own sons named Absalom rises up against him and makes David as the king go hide because he's trying to overthrow everybody in his kingdom. He literally was going to birth into the world his consequence. He said, because of what you've done, your own household will rebel against you. I will give your wives to another man before your very eyes, and he will go to bed with them in public view. My God, is that not called reaping what you sow? He said, you did it secretly, but I will make it happen to you openly in the sight of all Israel. This is a dangerous scripture, and this is one of the things that people get thrown off by because they think that God is mean because there are principles of consequence. They had a transaction. The baby was a consequence of their transaction. I need y'all to hear me right now. Consequence is a principle that lives on the earth. If I slap somebody, there's going to be a consequence. If I eat too much cake, there's going to be a consequence. I'll be on the toilet all night. There is a consequence. And what people many times want to happen is we want our attractions to subtract from us, but we live without the consequence. And you can't. David finds out that his attraction actually is going to end up subtracting from him. Not in that moment. And this is where we get played. Not in that moment will it subtract from us. But over our lifetime, there will be things that it's like, this was supposed to feel better than this. This was supposed to be more fulfilling. Why isn't it? It's because in a different season, we were led by our attractions. All right, Pastor Mike, so what do we do? Because many of you are like me. You were led by your attractions for many years and it continued to have interactions and it subtracted from you. Well, attraction can equal subtraction, but listen to this. Repentance can bring restoration. This is what I've told this whole story for. Why did I spend 2 weeks talking about this? Because I want to let you know about the grace of God. Repentance can lead to restoration. Restoration means to be restored better than new. I don't know who I'm talking to, but as I was going down this slippery slope that made some of us feel like you were in a pit, you felt like David at this moment, where God's saying, there's consequences for what you've done. But if you would repent, if you would turn from living your life the way you've been living it, going the way that you've been going, talking the way that you've been talking, watching the things that you've been watching, if you would, everybody say turn. That's all the word repent means. It means to turn. And some of us will not turn. And not just turn, it's turn to God. After David found out that he was going to be subtracted from, look what happened to him in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. I love this. And this is the attitude that many of us are going to have, because I don't know what you've done, and I don't know. I only know what I've done. But this is the remedy to it. Then David confessed to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Watch how quick God's grace is. Nathan replied, yes, you sinned, but the Lord has forgiven you. I want you to see how quick grace rushes in to anybody who turns. He said, I have sinned. I've done the wrong thing. And Nathan says, yes, you've sinned, but the Lord has forgiven you. The grace of God is not trying to make you suffer. He just needs you to recognize that you couldn't do this without me. You won't be able to live pure without me. You won't be able to get out of these toxic relationships without me. He said, I need you to, everybody shout at me, repent. And at the moment he repent and confessed, he said, you've already been forgiven. For me, this hit so home because I made so many mistakes. I did so many things listening to my attractions and my appetite and giving it attention and having interactions and making other people fractions and doing all this other stuff. And at the moment I came to God for real, I remember it. I got down on my knees in my bedroom and I said, God, I don't want to live like this anymore. I've hurt this person and this person. And more than anything, I'm dealing with the consequences of this, 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 and this. And I no longer want to live my life going down this road. God, I turn to you. And at the moment I said, I turn to you, it was like grace, like a flood came and it rushed over me. It rushed over my soul. It rushed over my life. And God says, all I needed you to do was repent. And now I can provide restoration. I know that there are people right here that on the inside, even as you're watching this, you're trying to keep it all together because you don't want anybody around you to see that this may have an impact on your life. But what you are is bottled up with all of these infractions, all these secret texts and emails, all of these thoughts. You know, you're saying, well, I didn't do it, but the Bible tells us in the New Testament, as a man thinks, as a woman thinks, that's the thing that you've thought, and so you might as well have done it. God's saying, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory. We've all been led astray by our attractions, but you can remedy it right now by repenting. And when you repent, repentance will lead to restoration. Can I be very clear with you that repentance for David didn't take away the consequence? Ah, this one sucks. Because he repented in this moment. Bathsheba has a baby. And the baby they had died. And in the moment the baby passed away, the Bible says that David began to worship. Because he had repented and he knew that there was consequences from what had happened. But he knew that no matter what the consequences were, his heart was right now. And there are some people that you're still in the middle of the consequence of what's happened in your life. You're still dealing with stuff. But if your heart is right, you can still lift your hands in worship. And there's many of you that you're still dealing with baby mama drama. You're still going through court cases. You're still dealing with hurts and pains and family not liking you and all this other stuff that's going on. But God says, just make sure that you've repented and your heart's right with me. Because even in the worst moment of his life, I can't imagine losing a child. But even in the worst moment, he could lift up his hands and worship God. Because he said, I can't figure out all of this right now. But I know that my heart is clear now. Because he repented. And I feel the spirit of repentance all over the world right now. I really do. And I know that some of you right now, this message is what God is trying to challenge and penetrate your heart. And some of you have been rock hard this entire message because you don't want to admit the infractions that have been made because of your attractions. But God's saying, I'm giving you an opportunity to repent right now. Repent for talking about those people. Repent for inviting that habit into your life. Repent for having that attitude towards what I ask you to do. And I believe that it's the season for us to go as a church and as the body of Christ. We need to go on the road to renewal. Let me give you a secret, a practical thing that helps me. That God told me, he said, Michael, watch these four steps. When you're reckless, when you do stuff that it's not like me, when you go out and you make decisions and you mess things up. When you're reckless, the first thing you need to do is take responsibility. It was me. It was your boy. Messed that one up. Made the wrong decision. I talked to you wrong, wife. I stepped out. I emotionally cheated, husband. I did all of this stuff. I talked to you wrong, children. You are reckless, but then you got to take responsibility. And after you take responsibility, all God says is repent. Turn to me. And after you repent, the quickest thing that the grace of God does is it renews you. And today, I want everybody to make these steps. I don't know what area you need to make it in right now, but David's attractions led to subtraction. And God wants everything that's subtracted from you to be renewed right now. He wants it to be renewed right now. Every mistake, every mess up, he wants to renew you. That's why he sent Jesus. Because he said, I don't want them to stay in that place. I love them too much to leave them there. So I'm going to bring them to me by sending Jesus. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. This is where I'm going to end. It's one of my favorite scriptures and it's kept me so much. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promises, as some people think. No, he's being, everybody say patient, for your sake. Woo! Because he does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everybody to do what? Repent. Hands lifted all over the world, all over this room right now. I don't know what you need to repent from, but I'm going to ask God. He's not being slow. He's being patient. The reason he hasn't elevated you is because he's trying to give you an opportunity. The reason why that he hasn't exposed everything to the world is because he's trying to give you an opportunity to do it for yourself. He wants all of us to repent. At the moment David repented, everything that God had promised him would be restored. After he lost the one baby, then he had Solomon. His next child, his next attempt, his next try would go on to be the wisest man that ever lived. God's saying is, what has set you back, if you repent, can turn into a setup. The next one can be the best one. The next try can be the one that takes it to the world. The next time, but you can't do it without repenting. This is what God's asking all of us to do. Repent, hands lifted. Father, I'm asking you that right now. I did what you asked me to do, Father. I brought my personal journey of repentance to the forefront, Father God, by the steps you told me, Father God, that when I was reckless, Father, you said, take responsibility. And after I take responsibility, repent. And at the moment of repentance, you would begin to renew. God, I'm asking you to do that for all my brothers and sisters that are watching right now. Every marriage that there's been infractions in, I'm asking you, Father God, that you would allow there to be responsibility taken, that people will stand up and say, that was my bad. I messed up. I stepped out. I did the wrong thing, God. And I thank you together that couples all over the world are going to be able to repent together and dedicate their relationship back to you, Father God. And you're going to renew them. I pray for all my single brothers and sisters right now who have made infractions, Father, because of their attention and because of their attractions, God. And I'm asking you right now, they take responsibility, Father, for leading those people on to having one night stands with those people, to being in mental and emotional relationships that have led them to distraction. God, and I'm asking you right now that they would take responsibility and they would repent. And at the moment they repent, God, I thank you that this is a season of renewal. God, you don't want anybody to be destroyed. So you're being patient with us. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus, that allows us to be renewed. And I'm thanking you, Father God, that even in this moment, that people are changing the trajectory of their lives because they're going to run to you and repent. Today, Father God, I'm asking you to do a deep work, do surgery on every relationship, on every person, on every heart. And I thank you, Father God, that you will get the glory, the honor, and the praise out of our lives. In Jesus' name we agree. Look at me right now, everybody all over the world. David still is cited as a man after God's own heart. Even with the mess he made, because he repented, God did not see David like he doesn't see me and you. Through our worst moment, God sees us through the lens of Jesus. And when he looks at us and we've repented and put our faith in Jesus, he doesn't see what we've done. He sees what Jesus did for us. And today there's some people watching who have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And today all you have to do is repent, turn from what you've been going to and turn to him. And as you turn to him, God no longer is counting your sins against you. He sees the finished work of the cross. So today, all over the world, if you're watching this live or a rebroadcast, I believe there's about to be an explosion, a revival of salvations in this moment. All these people out here trying to preach to you to make you happy and to make you do that. But if you die tomorrow and you have not repented, you have not turned to God, eternity is destroyed and not what it's supposed to be for you. And today I'm fighting for somebody's life who needs to turn to God. And God's saying, this is your moment. According to Romans 10:9, all you have to do is confess and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he came just for you, that he lived and he rose again from the dead to take away all of our sins. And he said, you're saved. And today, if you want to make that decision, I want to pray with you. All over this world, there are people that I believe that are going to make this decision. And on the count of three, I want you to do something physical. I want you to lift your hands today. I feel a very apostolic anointing, a very pastoral anointing to speak into your life right now. I don't care about clicks and likes. I care about your life. I want your life changed. I want your life transformed. I don't want you to have to repeat these cycles. And today God's asking you, could you repent and just give me everything that I already gave you? One, if this is the decision you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I am so proud of you, but more than that, God is proud of you. Three, lift your hands all over the world if you're making that decision to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior. Come on, hands are going up all over the world. Now, right now, we're about to pray. And transformation, you already know, nobody prays alone at this church. We're one big family. So I want everybody to pray this out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ right now. Everybody just say, God, thank you for sending Jesus to take care of all my infractions. Today, I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. I repent of all my sins, and I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Come on, if you just prayed that prayer, can we give God? Oh, come on, Transformation Nation, let's give God a shout of praise all over this place. I'm telling you that somebody who just prayed that prayer, your life has just turned in the right direction. And if you made that decision or you're around somebody that made that decision, hug them, congratulate them, because eternity has changed. It can be said of you that you are a man or a woman after God's own heart. I want you to text the number on the screen right now. I want you to text this number, and we want to send you some resources. We want to help you. We want to help you move forward in your relationship with God. And we want you to find true satisfaction. And true satisfaction is found in Jesus. Today, I'm so excited. I believe as this message goes out to the world and you hear it, it's going to ring back in your spirit. And this is why it's so important for you to be planted in a church. Hear me. In this time where everybody's looking for the next amazing quotable, God is looking for people to be planted in his house. And I'm asking you to get planted in a life-giving church. It doesn't even have to be Transformation Church, but I want you to commit to being planted somewhere where they're not going to manipulate you for things or try to get things out of you, but they want things for you. And as your pastor, for everybody that's listening, what I want for you is for you to become everything that God has called you to be. And so sometimes there's messages that I got to speak to you that bring you all the way down the road to let you see that the end of it is you need to repent. Guys, today I'm believing that God is changing people's lives by your obedience right now. I love y'all. We got two more weeks. I think next week I'm going to talk about soul ties, because many of you are entangled in things that you can't figure out how to get free from. And I want to talk to you about the power of sex and what happens in that. I think that's where God's leading me. Pray for your pastor this week. And then we got one more message after that. And we're going to end Relationship Goals Reloaded. But I see what God is doing all across the world. He wants us to win in relationships. I'm going to pray for you that you would have the best week ever. Father, thank you. That everybody that is under the sound of my voice, Father God, that you would give them the fortitude to go through this week with strength. You said that this year for our church is stronger. And today, Father, even when we feel the resistance, it means that we're getting stronger. I speak blessing over these people. I speak life over their relationships. I thank you that their children succeed. And I thank you, Father God, that they walk in full purpose. God, let us be the light of the world in this season. We will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we agree. Somebody say amen. Thank you so much for watching this message. And if this has impacted you in any way, I'm asking you to do a couple of things. Number one, join Transformation Nation. Join us right here every Sunday. Gather your friends and your family and be a part of not just this moment, but this movement. The second thing I would ask you to do is share. Share this with your friends, your coworkers, people that are around you, because transformation is just one click away. The last thing I would ask you to do is partner with us financially. If this ministry is impacting your life, transforming you, I would ask you to consider, pray about what you could give to help us take this message to the whole world. I want you to know that we love you and your best days are right in front of you. This week, I want you to live a transformed life. See you next week.